Welcome to the City View Church Podcast.
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Today's message.
Okay, good. That's better. Hey, I know Daryl's excited. ASU won last night. So if you are into college football, hopefully your team won. Unless it's U of A, then we're happy. It's just sort of jokes. But hey, I hope you guys are having a great weekend. Hope you get tomorrow off. If you don't, I am sorry. If you do, rest. Our bodies need rest. They do. They need to chill. They need to relax. They need to not do yard work. They need to not do chores. Sometimes they just need to sit and chill. God created us to take time to sit and chill. So if you are able to tomorrow, do that. Read a good book. If you're like reading, I hope I get to read tomorrow. I don't know what that means. I'll have to not read a leadership book because that's pretty much all I read. And then it's work, but it's so good. I don't know what I'll read. But so yeah, I just want to encourage you guys with that. And then another thing I want to just sort of make you guys aware of is, so last week, a pastor in California, a young pastor, he'd been battling with depression and anxiety for a long time. He took his life last week. And it's so sad. It really, like, hits home. He had three young boys, new pastor. I'm like, man, I get that. The pressures and the burdens and then the worries and the concerns and just all the things that come at anybody. And so I want you guys, if you are battling with depression and anxiety, that's real stuff. And I know some people will just say, go and pray about it, go and pray. If you're not, you're probably battling it because you're not praying enough. You look at, like, David in the Bible. He battled with it, and he prayed a lot, but it still was there. So if that's something you battle with, make sure that you get help. If you need to know somewhere you can go or you need to know a good counselor, please talk to myself, Tony, who is walking around with the camera today. Talk to somebody. Because we're part of a family, and it's just sad. It's hitting that church hard. It's hitting his wife hard. So, I'm forgetting his name right now. Drew, be praying for his family right now because it's three boys younger than mine, and that breaks my heart. So just know that you don't have to be alone. You don't have to do this alone. But also know that prayer does change things. Prayer really does change things. You know, it's amazing. You watch these movies. Actually, before I move on and into my message, let me pray for that church right now. It's called Inland Hills Church. And Lord, I pray right now, God, for the church this morning as they are going through the first Sunday. And Lord, I know that today is a mournful day for them, and they're probably really wondering what's going to happen. And how could a pastor who's supposed to lead them, how could this happen? So, Lord, I ask, God, that you would minister to the people, minister to any of us this morning, Lord, maybe are struggling. And, God, meet us today. Lord, be with his family, his wife, and his three boys. Lord, you are a father that none of us could ever be. So, Lord, I pray that you would be so real in those boys' lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we have an enemy, the devil. He is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's real stuff. So, you know, last night, my wife and I, we saw the new Jurassic World movie. If you haven't seen it, don't waste your money. Harkins doesn't, we're at AMC, so don't let anybody know. But they have like $5 movies right now. You know, I'm all about saving money. But so we went and saw this movie, and it's amazing. And you see all these previews. It's amazing in these movies that when something needs to be done to save a life, when something needs to be done to save the world, when something needs to be done, there's always somebody who's willing to risk it all to make sure it happens, isn't it? Have you ever seen that? They're like, hey, you're probably going to die. There's no hope of you win. There's no hope of you saving life. But if you do this, you will save the entire world. I don't know who those people are in real life, but if they're really out there, I just want to say thank you for doing that every day for us, saving us from whatever might be out there, dinosaurs, aliens, whatever, but I appreciate those people that do that. But you know, what's crazy, though, is what if I told you that if you did this one thing, just one thing, that it would change your life forever. That if you did this one thing, that if you just started doing it, if you would be willing to risk it all and you did this one thing, it would change everything for you and it would set your life on a new trajectory. What if I told you that if you did this one thing, it would change all things forever for you? Would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to risk it all if you just did one thing? You know, prayer is so simple, yet so powerful. Prayer can be so intimidating because maybe we think, well, I don't know how to pray like that. Well, like Austin, I hate saying it, but I don't know, just there's like a movement of the Spirit when he prays. Nothing Austin, I appreciate it. But you want to know what makes his prayer so special is he believes what he prays. He honors God as he prays. Now, what if we prayed, and I'm not saying you have to be as eloquent as that, because I'm not. I'm like, God, thanks for today, and I know I'm a mess, and, you know, that's sort of me. I just, if you ever read anything I write, like if you were to read my sermon, you'd be like, wait a minute, he writes like that, but talks like this, like two different things. I write like I talk, and I'm not the most eloquent guy, but who cares? But what if we took a risk? What if we really believed that God does listen? What if we really believed that God does want to hear what we have to say? What if we really believed, and we actually took 5 minutes out of our day and said, okay, God, you know what? I'm going to believe this. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to see what you do. What if we took that risk and we said, okay, God, I want to see what you do? Because you see, one of the biggest things that happens when we start talking to God is it brings about this communication. Communication is so key. If my wife and I didn't talk, we would not be married. Some of our conversations are, hey, honey, do you want anything from Circle K or QT? Simple communication. Some of them are like, hey, I feel like a failure as a mother. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to get through another week of homeschool. Some of them are like that. Some of them are as basic as, hey, how was your day? How can I help? You see, communication with the Lord is meant to be so simple like that as well. It's getting to know him, communicating with him. So what if we took a short amount of time out of our lives each and every day? We said, okay, God, I'm going to do this. We make time for everything else. We make time for the gym. We'll give it an hour. And I'm not talking about the throw-up prayers, not throw-up, but like you're eating, you're like, dear Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed. I'm talking about setting aside 5 minutes and just saying, God, what do you have right now? Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us and encourage us and challenge us, Lord, in this simple thing of prayer. A thing that can be so intimidating yet can be life-changing. So, Lord, I ask that today, that right now, in this moment, Lord, that we would have our hearts stirred to this desire to pray and believe that you care, to believe that you hear, and to believe that you do when we ask, Lord. God, I ask that you would move in our lives, that you would speak to us this morning through your word, because your word is power. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, your word is true and it's real. It's not a book of stories, but it's a book of real life and your real love for us, Lord. So I ask, God, this morning as we open it, that you'd speak to us today. God, I ask that you'd speak to your people all over the valley as they're at church. And there are some just on vacation, taking a good long day, long weekend. Lord, give them relaxation and a good time. Safety coming home as well. Lord, speak to us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be finishing up Ephesians today, finishing up our series, Living Life on Purpose, for a Purpose. Today I want to talk about praying on purpose. So Paul says this. He just finished sharing with this church that we have this enemy, the devil, who's desiring to destroy our lives. And he says, I want you to stand firm and fight. And he gives us all these things, the chest guard and the shin guards and the shield and a helmet and a sword. He says, those things are important. But this is the most important, he says in verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul says, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Now, to give you a little background for those of you who maybe have missed out, Paul is right. He wrote this letter over 1,000 years ago. He wrote this letter to this church in Ephesus, this church in a city near Turkey. And he wrote this letter to them to encourage them and to help them with their living this life of faith for the Lord. And he's writing this letter from prison. He's writing this letter while he's chained to a guard. He's writing this letter while he is hurting and in pain and in prison for something he did not do wrong. He's actually in prison for sharing Jesus. So he's writing this letter and he says, pray. Pray always. He says, I'm in chains right now. Right now I'm in chains while I'm praying. And I'm praying for you. You know, prayer, though, can be an interesting thing. Prayer can be intimidating, can't it? Prayer can seem pointless. Because we're like, I've prayed so long for this one thing, and God, you never did a thing. Prayer can seem scary because we're becoming vulnerable or we're talking to the air. Like, what am I doing right now praying? Maybe we can feel far from God and think we're not worthy to pray. Maybe we're just lazy and we don't want to pray. Or maybe it's just not important. But we each struggle with these things at different phases of our life. As we think about prayer and as we pray, we can sort of throw things up, but we can sometimes not give any time to think about it. We pray for the moments as things are coming at us, as the fiery arrows, like, God help, God help. But what if we prayed before they came, while they were coming, and after they're done? What if we lived a life where prayer was something that we constantly did? You see, there are many reasons we don't pray, and how many things in life would we have missed out on if we allowed the reasons why we don't to block us? There are so many things, there's so many decisions, so many reasons we don't do things. But how many times do we push through, okay, I shouldn't do this, but you know what, I'm going to try it anyways. I remember, so we went over to Fossil Creek, and there's some cliffs, and I'm scared of heights. I'm just scared of heights, I'll be real. So first, a friend of mine, Joe, he jumps off to make sure it's safe for all the kids. I'm like, Joe, you're such a good guy, because I was not going to jump off first. What if you die? So you die first. He jumps off, and then it's all the kids. Like, they're all jumping off, and then Judah runs, and he just jumps. What? And I'm like, oh. And they're like, Dad, are you going to jump? I'm videotaping right now. Not videotaping. I'm recording on my phone, but not videotaping. That's weird. What's a videotape anymore? And so I'm sitting there on the rock across the little area. They kept, hey, Jeremiah, when are you going to jump? When are you going to jump? I'm like, I don't know. That's scary. But then I jumped. If my 11-year-old can do it, I better be able to do it. But what if I wouldn't have? You see, last year I told you guys how I went through just a time of depression. Just a dark time in my life. I never thought of taking my life. That was never something I struggled with. But it was just a really dark time. And I read this book called Power Through Prayer by a guy named Ian Bounds. And I love the book, but it's really geared towards pastors. And some people read it and they're like, well, this is really deep and super boring. And I'm like, fine, don't read my really deep, super boring book. No, a lot of people didn't like it as much as I did, but that's for all of us. But so I read it and it changed my life. And when I read chapter one, the first page, I got on my knees and I wept. And God said, Jeremiah, you are not desperate for me. You're not desperate. You don't pray. You throw up prayer. I mean, I pray. But he's like, you don't pray. You don't give me time. So that from that day on, this is February 10th, 2017, my goal, and there are sometimes I sleep in because I don't want to make it a law and a ridiculous thing where I beat myself up, but my goal is to wake up. If it's Sunday, 4:30, if it's during the week between 5 and 5:15, I wake up and I spend time praying, at least an hour. Now, it's not always easy. I create lists. I'm a list guy. I like to read through things. And I read this book, A Praying Life. If you've never read this book, I read, there's some books. Like right now, I'm reading a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, one of the best books I've ever read in my entire life. Just really is. It's an amazing book. I'm reading that right now. I just finished this book a couple weeks ago. It's called A Praying Life. This book takes prayer, which can be so intimidating and scary, and makes it so simple. I've given it away to a few people already. I gave you this copy, but it's mine. But I just encourage you guys to read it. Another pastor told me about it, and I'm like, dude, I'm going to read it. I read it. I texted him and said, thank you. But you see, I realized on that day that I wasn't praying enough. But what if you knew? What if you knew right now, if you saw the future 10 years from now, and you knew that you actually took 5 minutes out of your day and started praying, what if you knew that the things you're praying for right now are going to change your life in 10 years? Would you do it? Then I'm going to tell you right now that if you start praying right now, 10 years from now, your life will change. That's the truth. Because I can tell you, the moment I started praying less than a year from now, my life has changed. And it's been however many months. I'm not going to do the math. It's Sunday morning. But you see, Paul here is encouraging his people to pray. He's told them earlier in this book called Ephesians, he says, guys, we are blessed. We are chosen. We are God's children. We are forgiven. We are set free. God has a purpose for us, and he has a plan for us. And now he says, there is a fight at hand. You are in the middle of it, whether you want to be or not. There's a fight for your soul, and the devil is going after you. And here's your weapons, but here's your main one. Your main, number one, most powerful weapon is to get on your knees and say, God, I can't, but you can. That's your most powerful weapon, Paul says. Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of the night. Put on the full armor of God. And you get all the way to verse 18. He says, pray. Pray. You see, we have an enemy. And he hates us. He's scheming. And he's desiring to destroy us. His tactics are not common. They are not flesh and blood. It's not like he's throwing rocks at you and you can like block him, or he's going to try to trip you and you physically see his foot and you're like, oh, that was like, hey, I got you. It's not flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It's things we cannot see. It's tricky. And that's what he's going to do. So the only way to battle spiritual is through spiritual. There really is a spiritual battle right now. I remember as a kid, I read these books by a guy named Frank Peretti. I can't remember which one was all about angels. In This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness. They're about angels. It's pretty interesting books. It sort of gives you an idea on what's going on. Some of you are like, I don't read a lot. Get Audible. Save your life. Not really. Like, Jesus saves lives. Audible just helps lives. John says this in 1 John chapter 4, little children, you are from God. And you have overcome them. He says, for he who is in you, the Jesus who is in you, is greater than the enemy that's in the world. Greater. not equal to, not just under, not just like, okay, there's Jesus and there's like this, the battle. If you've ever seen any Avengers movies, there's this battle and you got Thanos and he sort of beats up Hulk and like Hulk is crying and then he doesn't want to be Hulk anymore and he just becomes the regular normal white guy, whatever his name is. And then it's like he's scared to fight. It's not like Jesus is this battle or like that Carmen video where it's like Carmen gets beat up and all that and you're like, oh, and then Jesus almost died. No! God's not some wimp, and he's not like, man, I don't know if I can beat him. I'm tired from the devil today. No, he says, greater is he, meaning no comparison. There's no way that he could even come close. Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Greater. No comparison. Not close to equal. You can't even put them on the same page. You're going to say, you look at the stats, and you know, you see all the football stats of different teams, like who's got the better defense, who's got the better offense, who's got the better special teams, who's got the better kickers. You look at that, and you're like, you don't look at the stats and say, okay, Jesus, man, he's got the number one ranked defense, and then Satan, he's got like number three. It's like, Jesus has the number one ranked defense. Satan has no ranking. He's already lost. There's no way. He cannot win. It's not possible. He's already been destroyed. You are already overcomer, and the one who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. So as we go in to pray, we've got to realize that in our prayer life, the one we are praying to is greater than anything that is happening in the world, is greater than the enemy that's coming after us. And Paul says that we've got to pray. You see, we react in so many different ways when we think about our enemy, this unseen enemy. Sometimes we ignore it. We're like, okay, yeah, that's the devil. He's just a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork. We just ignore it. Some of us, we can live in fear of the devil. We can think, man, but he's scary. He's got superpowers of some kind. I've seen the videos of him. I know he's like that. Or we can walk in victory. We can choose. You can choose to live in a lie and walk in fear or ignorance. Or you can choose to walk in victory, realizing that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You can realize that you are triumphant through Christ Jesus. You can realize that you are an overcomer because of what Jesus has done. Paul says this, verse 18, the only way that we can walk in prayer, Paul says, pray in the Spirit. Be purposeful. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Got a few things that I've underlined, highlighted here. Some are going to be up here. One, pray in unity with God's word. What does God's word say as we are praying in the Spirit? You know, my kids could go up to each other and say, hey, Dad said you can have a snack before dinner. Is that praying in unity with my word? No, because I would not ever say that. Hey, Dad said you're dumb. Would I ever say that? Praying in unity is, what does God's heart and what does God's word say? How do we pray in unity with God's word? Well, you got to know God's word to pray God's word. So if we're not in this book, and I realize some of us are new to this walk, this life of sort of figuring out, am I going to live this life for Jesus or not? I know some of us are new to this, but I'm going to tell you, if you want to live a victorious life, this book is going to help you live a victorious life. It's not a have to. It's not a law, but this will change your life. It will change your life. I'm not lying. This has changed my life. So one, we've got to pray in unity. Two, we've got to pray in unity with God's will. What is it that God wants for our lives? Is this something that God would want as I'm praying for it? So as you're praying for it, you know, maybe my kids, one of them might say, hey, Dad says you should quit school. Is that my will? That said, you should just fail everything. Is that my will? No. You see, as we are praying, pray in unity with the word, pray in unity with his will, and pray to glorify him. Pray to glorify God. Pointing out how, you know, and I hate highlighting you, Austin, but really the Lord has taught you how to pray to him. I'm just going to be honest. You shouldn't sit in the front. You should go sit in the back so I can't point at you. But if you notice, when he prays, he always points to Jesus and he's always glorifying God. Jesus says, if you want to pray, pray like this. I totally forgot the Lord's Prayer. Somebody help me out here. Our Father, that's the first words. Our Father. See, I'm real. I even forget, and I shouldn't forget that kind of stuff. I mean, Who knows? Maybe I, whatever. But our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're like, what in the world is hallowed? The idea is glory to you, God. That's the idea. Our Father, our God, our Dad who is in heaven, glory be to your name. But the word is more than glory. It's praise and honor and power and strength and might. It's God, you are everything. And that's his prayer. This is how we pray. And then this is how the Holy Spirit helps us. Because you see, it says, when you are praying, it says, pray in the Spirit. So to pray in the Spirit, we've got to be unified in God's word, and we've got to be unified with God's heart, and we've got to praise and glorify God through our prayers. And this is how this Holy Spirit helps us, because, you know, we have the enemy of the devil, who is a spirit, and we've got the Holy Spirit, who also is coming alongside us. Jesus sent him to be our helper and to be our teacher, and here are the things that he does to help us in this life. Because how many of you guys have ever prayed and you don't know what you're doing? Have you ever been there? You're sort of like, okay, I'm going to start praying, and you just sort of start talking. You're like, am I doing it right? There is no wrong way to pray. When I was in college, I had a roommate, and one of our other roommates was going out to a party, and he started praying for that the guy would keep his personal items inside his. And I'm not a new believer, but I'm definitely like, my kids are homeschooled, but I'm as close to homeschooled as you can be when I'm hearing prayers like this. I'm like, can you pray that to God? Like, can you say those words? And I went to the guy, and he's a little older than me. I'm like, dude, can you pray that? He goes, that's real. I was just being real. And this guy is like, he's way more raw of a Christian than I am. But I'm like, God hears all of that. You're not going to offend him with that. God's not going to be like, whoa, whoa. Come on. I can't listen to prayers that are just. So the first thing, what the Holy Spirit does is he introduces us into the presence of the Father. It says in Ephesians 2:18, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done. This is that picture of having access to a king, of being able to come before the throne room of God and the Holy Spirit saying, hey God, this is one of your kids. I don't know if you've ever seen the Office episode where Dwight introduces everybody who's walking into the wedding. If you haven't, don't watch it. But it's this idea of everybody was being introduced as they walked to this wedding. And as we come into the throne room of God, the Holy Spirit says, God, this is one of your kids. He is forgiven. And he is set free. And God, he's got something to say. That's this idea of what the Holy Spirit is doing. He introduces us. And he graciously reveals to us our true needs, the true needs of our heart. And he leads us to seek fulfillment in our prayer. You know, have you ever been praying and you just sort of start praying? But then all of a sudden as you're praying, and maybe you haven't really taken time. I want to encourage you to. Because what's amazing is when you start taking time, you start praying to God, all of a sudden things start coming up in your prayers that you're like, oh, that's why I'm struggling with this. Because the Holy Spirit starts to guide your mind so that you can understand better what's going on in your heart. Because our hearts are crazy. They don't make sense so many times. You can love one thing one minute and hate something, and you can be all for something, and you just our hearts can be so confused, and the Holy Spirit, he graciously reveals to us our true heart needs. The Holy Spirit, he puts in us a sense of sonship and acceptance that creates freedom and confidence in the presence of God. This is in Galatians 4:6, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Here's the idea of what the Holy Spirit does. He allows us to go into God's presence almost like a child. You know, some of you, maybe you don't have kids in here, but I'm going to tell you, my kids have no problem coming up to me asking me for anything. They just will barge right into a conversation. I'll be right in the middle of talking to somebody. Dad, can I go get Starbucks? Now, I teach my kids to be polite and all this, but it's the idea of our kids being able to come to us at any moment. And the Holy Spirit, he puts in us the sense of sonship and acceptance that creates a freedom so that we can walk into the presence of God knowing we can come before him at any moment. Do you realize that? He helps us with our ignorance. This morning I was praying, and I swear my prayer, my mind, it started, it was an interesting time. I was praying, and then it seemed like, I don't know if you have an iPhone, but mine, I do, and I'll start getting, like, notifications. You got an email, you got a text, and they all come in different colors. And my brain all of a sudden started getting filled with these distractions. At 4:45 this morning. You see, with the Holy Spirit, he helps us with the ignorance of our minds. Holy Spirit says in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with in our ignorance. So the Holy Spirit, he comes and he says, God, I know they're not making sense right now because their brain is a hot mess. But God, this is what's on their heart. The Holy Spirit, he takes our inarticulate groanings, those times where we're praying and we really don't know what even to pray. You ever have those moments where you just sort of want to yell and scream because life is just terrible? You ever have those moments where you don't have any words, you're just like, God, this isn't fair. I don't get it. I'm mad. And you just, and maybe you're just, maybe there's times where you just come before God and you are just in tears because you are overwhelmed with what life has dealt you. The Holy Spirit takes those groanings. He says, God, this is what they're saying with those tears. God, this is what they're saying with those words that I know they're rated R, but God, this is what those words mean. It takes your heart. And he helps the Lord know. Not that God doesn't, but that's the role of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also at times, he lays special burdens on your heart for others. Have you ever had those moments where God lays somebody on your heart and you just start praying for them? And then maybe later on you text them. I always like to text people. If I'm in a moment and God lays somebody on my heart, I like to text them, hey, I'm praying for you. And they're like, dude, I am right in the middle of something and I don't know how you knew. That's how the Holy Spirit works. It's not like we have some little bird that, well, you do. The holy bird is called the Spirit. Holy bird. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And Paul says, pray, and I know I'm going long today. Pray in the Spirit at all times. On every occasion, stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers. Paul says these things. He says, pray at all times. Pray all types of prayers. Thankful prayers, heartbroken prayers, prayers for other people. Always be alert in your prayers. Always be alert. Never give up in your prayers. Never give up. Daniel, there's a story in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, where Daniel started praying, and it says that nobody answered him for 3 weeks. Now, like 3 weeks, you're like, I've been praying something for like 10 years. Well, God's just saying, hey, chill out, listen to the story. For 3 weeks, he's praying, and then this angel comes before him, and Daniel gets all scared, and he falls on his face, and the angel says, sorry, I'm late. I was on my way, but the enemy of Persia, the demon of Persia, would not let me come to you. This book of Daniel, chapter 10, gives us the insight into this spiritual warfare. He says, the enemy of Persia, the prince of Persia, this demon would not let me in. I battled for 3 weeks. And then finally, Michael the archangel, he came. Michael's real. Angels are real. Demons are real. The devil's real. God's real. Everything that you see, all that stuff, maybe in the movies it's creepy and weird. It's even creepier in real life. And he says, I'm sorry I'm late. I got into a fight, but Michael came and kicked his butt. Now I'm here. God heard your prayers. God heard your prayers. So don't give up. A pastor is quoted saying this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. Paul also says, he says, pray for all people. We have an enemy, and he's fighting for our attention. But he gives nothing but regret and guilt when we give in to him. But we have a Lord who's going to love us whether we give him attention or not. But when we do, he will bless us and set us free. If we really want to live on purpose, we've got to live in communion with the Lord. Because he wants to tell you his purpose. He wants to guide you in his purpose. And he wants to speak to you what his purpose is. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you that you are a great God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.